But once those pads come on, Tevin Jenkins is a son of a bitch.
Kieran. Oh, that was good. The Bears offense is just like Tony's Wi-Fi, which is struggling.
I wake up, flex, I'm down that check, no drip is wet. Welcome back to the Irish Bear Show. It is great to be back. We are about 30 days away from the NFL draft, and yeah, it is good to be on with you guys back another week, and it's going to be this week is like the precursor, because next week is a special week for us because it will be our 300th show. So it is a big achievement for us to be able to do. And yeah, but again, most important thing here is there's a lot of stuff coming up for the Bears over the next month, and a lot of craziness that seems to be happening over on social media along with this team. But before we get into it all, how are you lads doing?
I'm doing good. Jesus, that's mad. The last couple of days have been mad. Right, lads, buying votes, getting involved in something.
Hold on. Let's get this out of the way. What the fuck is a Twitter bot, and how do you buy one?
Yes. It seems to only cost $10. How is that like? How are we really? Only found this out now? That's what Courtney. I mean, not Courtney Cronin. She wouldn't
for one.
No, I don't know. Someone said $10 for like, I don't know, 1,000 of them or something. I have no idea. Good crack.
You gotta be some sad fucker if you're doing that, right?
What are you doing? Get over yourself, and what are you doing? That's the easiest answer I can give to that.
I wonder where the bots are originating from. Because remember in the YouTube chats about a year ago, we used to get like a million of the Russian bots used to come in all the time.
Yeah, they're off doing other things. They're disappointing them, and I miss also
now voting in polls.
Yeah. I also, out of the 300 episodes, I miss our Packer fan. Remember, they used to be a Packer lad that used to come on.
He then sent
a message saying, "I'll never be back. It's something to do with you guys," and he never came back. I have no idea why. I can't remember what his name.
You know, I've not been included in for ages. Is a Packers Bob list. It must have been a good 3-4 months since the last time we put him on a list. So
that's because they lost.
Let's annoy the show.
I still want Packer Bob on the show. I'm still for that. All for Packer Bob coming on.
He's definitely like a 12-year-old lad. So definitely not.
Anyway, can I just say something? Right. Firstly, Scottish Bear, how you doing, mate? Good to see another Scottish person on the old fan list. Is this the 300th show? Because I think I might have miscounted. I thought this was the 300th show.
Oh, is it? Oh, maybe so.
We'll say it was 300, 301. We're all the same. Woohoo! Yeah, we're saying 299 just so we can say 300 next week.
Next week is what, 3 years? At the weekend. So yeah, we have a couple of interesting things coming in next week, so make sure that you stick with us. Exactly. In terms of this, I suspect a large portion of the chatters on YouTube are like, it's been a wild couple of days. Like, I can't even remember. Obviously, look, we'll talk with the elephant in the room, which seems to be happening on Twitter over the last, 3 or 4 days. We found out that we actually got included in that, the Bears bracket or something like that. And we were having a laugh with it. And then it seems like there's a couple of people that actually take it seriously that really want to win it, or apparently really want to win it, when we were just like, if we can get 20% or 15% against Courtney Cronin, we'll be happy enough. I think the last time I checked, it was 28%. So go us.
I was all for that. All I know is I checked it and it was like, with the first round, and we were 82%. And I was like, geez, that's great. And the person we were against, I was like, maybe that's because the people hate him. And then 2 hours later, I happened to look and suddenly it was 54% to 46%. And I found that strange, if I'm honest. And then it just, it spiraled into insaneness. Let's not talk about it for too long, because you know what?
I'll be honest. The one time I looked at it, I think it was like 92% to 8% or something like that towards the beginning. And I was like, ah, Grant, that's fine. At least we'll get through the first round. Then I saw we'd be up against Courtney Crown. I'm like, ah, it doesn't matter anymore. But yeah.
I'm impressed. Everyone, that's all it is.
It's supposed to be a bit of fun.
Exactly.
And if you didn't
I want to win it, it's fun, but I want to win it, and if you didn't vote for it,
you're a bit of a cunt, aren't you? So anyway,
thanks for those of you who didn't.
Yeah, we know who you are. Our bots will find you. I mean, nothing out to do with bots.
Out the fuck.
Right, we're moving on. Owners meeting.
Right, yeah, first look.
Did McCaskey's actually talk?
It's more the GM's meetings. I just like to, in terms of the, you have everybody there. In terms of Ryan Poles is there, you had the president. Like, originally that's what they were based on. It was like the owners getting together and stuff like that, but it's actually just become like GMs and head coaches and stuff like that. But the interesting one really is, we got to hear from Ryan Poles. We got to hear from Matt Eberflus. Ryan Poles seemed to have done a media circus over the last kind of day or so, because I saw him on the Pat McAfee show. He was on the Rich Eisen show. And for anybody that was anyway concerned that the Bears are not taking Caleb Williams, I think you can rest assured that that is not the case. He, without admitting that he's going to be taking Caleb Williams, he basically said he was going to be taking Caleb Williams. And it's been interesting. I listened to a couple of the other coaches and GMs, just because I think on Pat McAfee's show, Kevin O'Connell was on from the Vikings. I think the head coach from the Atlanta Falcons was on. The interesting one is how all these guys view this current first round. And a lot of them think that it's going to go quarterback, which makes it really, really interesting. But obviously what we heard from about Caleb Williams, obviously we mentioned it last week that the Bears met with him the day before his pro day, brought him out to dinner, but they actually brought him and a bunch of the USC kind of teammates out to dinner. And what I found was interesting about it is just Ryan Poles dropped the whole nugget that they don't like him, and then stopped and then said they love him. And it's things like that where, from listening to him, I think anybody that was worried about the kind of personality of the kid, I don't think you really need to. The other interesting one, I don't know if you guys kind of got to hear anything on this, was both Eberflus and Ryan Poles were asked about the NILs, because this is going to be the first kind of, let's say, superstar NIL player coming into the NFL, where Caleb Williams made $10 million last year. This isn't a rookie that's come from basically not getting paid in college football officially to then suddenly getting all this money. He's already gone through that period of time where he's got all the sponsorships. He's got his $10 million contract last year with his NIL money, and he comes into a situation where it's not like money is going to change him, because he's already had it. And that's what I find is, it's a really interesting proponent now of the NFL draft, is you actually see some of these guys that have been paid, and who do they surround themselves with now that they actually have the money?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting add-on to it. I think what I found from the conversations I've seen the last few days is everyone seems very calm. Everyone seems very relaxed. There wasn't a stage of any sort of, I wouldn't say panic, but there wasn't a stage of nervousness. It was a crack, Broski. And it was nice to see that they all seem to be almost on the same page as to what's going on. And again, from his pro day right through to today, everything seems to be pointing in that direction. You'd be absolutely stunned if it wasn't. They're still going to make him wait 8.5, 9.5 minutes before he announces it on draft day, because that's stupid and dumb, but that's what they're going to do. And there's going to be some interest. But again, he's not going to... Didn't go to Daniel's pro day or May's pro day, one of the two of them. I don't know which
May's pro day, yeah.
I mean, that says it all for me. Again, like... Drake May for me was the quarterback number two. I'd be stunned if he doesn't go to Washington too, but whatever. But it just said that. As for the money part, yeah, look, everything that Caleb Williams has said and acted and sounded like, again, fearmongers out there saying about his dad and all this kind of stuff. This kid isn't stupid. It's nice that this kid comes in. He's got money. He knows what it's going to be. We know what it'll do, good and bad for him, because that's life, especially if you're only in your 20s. Early 20s, you're going to be impacted. So to have that already knocked in the head and already seen that what the impact of money has had on him is obviously another good sign as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be Caleb Williams. We know that. I mean, if it isn't going to be him, then it's the best bluff I have ever witnessed in the history of GMing. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is, as you say, the fact they're not going to Drake May to even visit stands out to me. What I did worry about that, though, was that, you know, we talk about, you know, Lord Crimson brings it up. Who went to Trubisky's Pro Day? Idiots, Lord Crimson. That's who went to Trubisky's Pro Day.
Our GM.
But idiots. But that was another thing. You know, Ryan Pace only met with Trubisky. He didn't meet with Mahomes. He didn't meet with Watson. He should have done that. And even if Ryan Poles has taken Caleb Williams, he should still meet with the other top guys, because you just don't know what's going to happen last minute. Anything could happen. So that's the only thing that sort of annoys me, is the fact that he's not going to see Drake May, just to do your due diligence. He did go to the LSU Pro Day, so he's seen Daniels. I think they're having a visit with Daniels as well, which is great. But they should be doing it with all the top quarterbacks, for me anyway. You should just have that knowledge base there. You should do your research. So that's the thing that stands out to me about that. But coming back to, you know, the media stuff that Ryan Poles has been doing, and Matt Eberflus as well. I was listening to Matt Eberflus on the Hogan Jans podcast yesterday, I think it was. And, you know, they're both so... They don't look like a couple of guys who are panicking over anything right now.
Uh-huh.
It's very much, we can take our time. We can take anybody right now that we want. We don't need to wait to see what anybody else is doing. We can just take our time, pick who we want to come in. And I think everything's leading towards Caleb Williams. I would be stunned if he wasn't the pick. I would be disappointed if he wasn't the pick either, because I think he's head and shoulders better than the other options. But what I would say is I wouldn't be shocked if Drake May didn't go second. I think Jaden Daniels is a good shout for that, to be honest with you. It just depends what type of quarterback you like and how he fits in your system.
See, I get that, and I everyone knows I like Jaden Daniels. The thing that sticks in my head about Daniels is, and I'm not bringing this up, it's just the way that Fields' valuation fell so badly and so much. I'm wondering where the NFL is now looking at someone like Daniels, who has got, of all the quarterbacks that are out there, the most similarities to Justin Fields' style of play. So he's can be considered a running quarterback, can be seen that way. He's not massively great in the pocket. He does some other magic stuff. He's got a big arm, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just wondering, is he the quarterback that will drop because of how the NFL is seeing that type of quarterback? And for me, that's why I think Drake May goes too, because Drake May is that solid quarterback prototype. If you were to build one in a lab, it would look similar to Drake May. And then you've got JJ McCarthy, which everybody seems to have this massive glow for, and the Vikings seem to want to offer the shed for. And I just feel that it could be Daniels that might fall. But again, I could be wrong. That's the only reason in my head, is because of the perception of a running quarterback and what people now see as an important part of being a quarterback play. And that's where my only thing. But you could be right, Tony. Like, Daniels, there's so much talent in Daniels. He restarts your clock. There's a lot of stuff that he could do really well. But that's just my own. And again, that might be recency bias of myself based on what happened recently in Chicago. But that's just my only thought on that.
Yeah, I think if I was doing it, I think Drake May is probably the second most talented quarterback in this draft. I don't think he's going to go two or three. And the main reason is, I think the teams that are trying to maneuver into that spot, I think at two, it's probably going to be Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. I know there's been rumors over the last kind of 48 hours that they really like JJ McCarthy and he might go too, which I think is bonkers. Because really, it's like when you look at the Commanders, they're not really in a great situation for a rookie coming in. Same sort of deal with the New England Patriots. I think the Vikings, if they got one of these guys, they do have a situation that it would help a rookie. But
can
like,
can I ask a question on that? Sorry for interrupting here. Can I ask a question on that? Who's the quarterback that you don't want? And I know Tony might like this question. Who's the quarterback you don't want the Vikings to get? For me, it's Drake May. I don't want them to get, obviously, Caleb Williams going to the Bears. That's obvious, right? So I'm talking about the three that are there, smart ass. The three that are there in McCarthy, in Daniels, and in Drake May. I really don't want Drake May to end up in Minnesota. I don't mind JJ McCarthy because you don't know what you're gonna get. And Daniels is a little bit more of a flip of a coin. If there's a way, in my opinion, for Drake, if Drake May ends up in Minnesota, that's a really good pick for the Minnesota Vikings, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, personally, no, I really don't care.
I knew you were going to say that.
I don't think, I don't think you can be concerned with whatever any other team are doing. I think it's entirely irrelevant, really.
No.
If you sort yourself out firstly, I get the point of the question, right? I get the point of the question. I do, but I think it's going to be a situation where we're sitting here in 12 months' time. And we're going, and right now, you know what it's like? It's the hype of the draft. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, these guys are all going to be fantastic. And then it turns out they're all shite. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that's going to happen, right? But I just don't think they're going to be as big of an impact as the sort of hype train is having them. Even with Caleb Williams as well, I don't think you're going to see first year he's going to be necessarily Andrew Luck or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think at this moment in time, everyone sort of overreacts to everything. So, you know, that's another reason for me why I don't overreact too much to what other teams are doing. You know, we look at the Lions last year taking a running back. You know, like people, and that was a great player, but really, end of the day, like, we still beat them. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, for me, I'm not worried too much about it.
No, like the one thing that I would say on it, and it's the reason why I am in favor in the Bears meeting with all of these guys, is you know the Vikings are trading up for one of them. So that player is going to be in your division. So I think that it is going to be really, really important that they do meet with all these guys, because you need to know kind of how they work, what's their strengths and weaknesses, because it helps you knowing that you, like, the Bears can relax because they know who they're going to pick, right? Like, whether if they liked Jaden Daniels or if they liked Caleb Williams or whoever, they don't have to worry because they can get whoever the hell they want. Now, where I don't worry, and I know some people are going to get all kind of worried in when it comes out the day that, like, Jaden Daniels is being brought into Hallis Hall, and they're like, why are we even bringing him in if Caleb Williams is the guy? And then they'll see that Caleb Williams will meet with the Washington Commanders. The Indianapolis Colts all those years ago knew that they were picking Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck still had to go to a visit to, again, at the time, the Washington Redskins, even though they all knew that he was going to the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be the same situation. The Bears know that they can Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams knows that he's getting selected by the Bears. And really, it's just all kind of the whole part of the draft where the NFL, maybe not officially, have probably been like, yeah, don't just come out and say that you're taking them. And then when it comes to draft night, you have 15 minutes on the clock. You are going to hand that in at 13 minutes and 50 something seconds. Like, that's the way this is going to go. Like, at the end of the day, though, I think it is important that they meet with them all, because if you do take Caleb Williams and then it doesn't work out and you have shown that you didn't meet with anybody else, you're going to get the same treatment that Ryan Pace got, where he only met with Mitch Trubisky. He didn't meet with Patrick Mahomes. He didn't bring Deshaun Watson out for dinner or whatever. it makes it seem worse, though, because, like, it shows that you didn't even consider the other options when if maybe he spent a little bit more time with Patrick Mahomes, well, then maybe he would have been swayed. But if he was just so sold on Mitch Trubisky at the time, he didn't want anybody to sway him. Now, I don't think that Ryan Poles is in that same scenario. I think he's very even-tempered about a lot of this. And he also knows what he's looking for. He's done this before. He was conducting it when the Kansas City Chiefs picked Patrick Mahomes. He met with all of the quarterbacks that year, and they ended up going with him. And I do actually trust with the way that they're going on this one. But it's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot of the talk has been around the quarterbacks. But I think for the Bears, even at this point, I think they're concerned. And when I listened to that same interview on the Hog and Johns with Eberflus, they seem more concentrated on number 9 than number 1 right now, because I think they know exactly who they're taking. And I think now it's the time for them to try and figure out, well, what's happening after them. Like, is it going to be 4 quarterbacks in the first 4? And then if that's the case, well, are Atlanta taking edge rusher? Are the Titans taking a tackle? Well, if that's the case, one of those receivers is going to be there at 9. So, like, those are the interesting scenarios, I think.
So no one knows. This is the one thing I'll say about the top 10 of the draft. Things change. Like, some of the stuff that's happened over the last 2 or 3 years that no one expected. Like, only thing you can guarantee is the top 10 will not be the top 10 that is there now. Will be the top 10 at the end of the draft. That just isn't the case. There's going to be some mad stuff going on. You can already see that Denver want to get up there, Vikings want to get up there, Raiders want to get up there. And then we don't know. Other teams might look at it and go, Jesus, we want to make sure we get Marvin Harrison Jr., for example, or Joe Alter. So they may come from people we haven't even thought of yet. Suddenly throw something on in front of people and it changes it. Like, we assume Washington are going quarterback or 2. They may look at it and go, we need to revamp this team over the next 2 years. So we're going to literally sell the number 2 pick to get as many picks as we can over the next 2 to 3 seasons to develop our team. Who knows? We don't know. And that's the great thing about especially the top 10 of the draft. And for the Bears to have 2 spots in there really gives us a fantastic opportunity to develop this team in whatever way you want. And we spoke about this, about, and we're going to get into it now around the targets at 9. But I think there's a real conversation about, what do you want to do? Do you want, like, in my opinion, if Ryan Poles takes 9, I think he thinks we're close. Well, close is the wrong word, but I think he feels confident that we're getting to the right place, that he wants to pick 2 premium players, that he feels a lot of the other depth around him is getting there. If he trades back and tries to get more picks, I think that'll give a sign as well that he feels that he needs to get 2 or 3 more people involved. Again, that's just my take. It could be completely different. What I will say to you, Kieran, is that I don't think he will worry about what anybody else is doing between 2 to 8, because it's pointless. We won't have a clue. We get to 9, and I think he'll go, right, who's my top 3 targets at 9 that I feel is a number 9 pick? If they're there, whichever one is number 1 on that, we're taking. If those 3 or 4 are gone, for argument's sake, and I get an offer that includes a 2nd round and includes a 4th round or whatever, suddenly I'm going, do you know what? I'm going on to my next level of player, and that might be at 13, 14, 15. And I get to that point, and then I'm saying, well, who's my number 1 there, number 2 there? Because you can't control any other process, in my opinion.
No, I think you're spot on, man. I would totally agree with you on that. Like, I think if you're at 9, you've got an opportunity to take a really top prospect, you take them. You know, I don't understand the people who want to just trade back for the sake of it at 9 to get other picks. What's the point in having all these extra lottery tickets when you don't know who's going to be there later on in the draft? Whereas if you have a guy there that you have conviction on, you've done a ton of work on and you like him, you take him. That just makes sense. I would rather come out of the draft with 4 really good prospects than 12, you know, all right prospects and Caleb Williams. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would rather just come out with 4 good guys. That's kind of
what Poles said. Poles said he was in one of the interviews. He was saying, "Oh, you worried you only have 4," and he said, "Well, if you can combine the 3 years, I've got 25. If you include 4, and he was kind of implying that once you go beyond number 100, there's not really that much there. So I agree with you. I think if someone said to me now, we got 4 players at 1.975 and 1.22, or whatever it is, that were the number 1 that we wanted at those sections. And that included players that we were happy with, then that's fine by me. And one thing I will add to that, every year Ryan Poles finds someone in the UDFA. Every year.
Yeah.
Jack Sanborn was one. He got Bajent was another last year. He seems to find guys in UDFA because he was a UDFA himself. And Tanner's back with the money. Love Tanner. Look, get Tanner up here. After listening to Poles talking about he's fine with four picks, makes you wonder that he'll stay at nine and worry about the draft and trade back next year. Very good point, Tanner, about next year. We do have a lot of picks next year. And there seems to be a lot of stuff along the lines of that. He may even use some of those picks if he feels he wants to get somebody next year. Don't be too surprised if the Panthers pick is in play for the Bears. But I think you're right. I think everything that he seems to be saying is, I don't think he'll be too disappointed, as Tony said, if he only has four picks, if they're the four picks he wants as well. Thanks for the super chat. I remember what it was called this time, Tanner. Thanks for the super chat, my man. You are an absolute Irish Bears show legend.
Yeah, I agree with that. At the end of the day, I would rather have kind of the three good players and kind of your two top 10 picks and then number 75. If I had to predict on what Ryan Poles will do in terms of trading up and trading down, is I think he stays where he is for the first two picks, but then I wouldn't be surprised at 75 and 122 that he moves down, because I keep going back to that first draft that we had. We had two picks in the second round and then nothing in the third, and then we had a pick in the fourth, and he moved down like five times and he ended up with 11 picks. Like, that's where I think he could do. I think those two top 10 picks, I don't think he's moving unless there's a massive trade that comes in where someone's offering you something that you just can't refuse and you're moving back like four slots. I think that's the only way he moves on that one. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see him at 75. He's like, there's a good group of players that are still available that he likes, that he moves down multiple times and gets kind of an extra fourth, an extra fifth, an extra sixth. Like, when it comes to sixth and seventh round picks, you can get them really easily. If you want a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick, you give up one from next year and you're able to recoup them pretty easily. He does that most years, so I wouldn't be too concerned with that. But look, we're going to talk about the targets at nine, but I think that what might actually make this a good option here is maybe if we kind of run the mock draft up to where nine is and see kind of who goes, just to kind of get to that point. And we can kind of talk about the guys. And look, if it goes in a different direction, what we think, we can talk about who we might think will go ahead as well, just to be able to talk about those. So I'm just going to set up the screen here and see how we go. It should populate here in a minute. There we go. All right. So I'm just going to get this up and running so we can get to the ninth pick. So I'll do the obvious. And Tony, who are we picking at number one?
See what the offers are. See what the offers are. I'm joking. Go
on. No. All right. I mean, we'll go.
It's the man. It's the man.
It's the man. Okay. So we're going to do that. So Caleb Williams goes first. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Malik Nabers, Roman Dunes, and Brock Bowers. Okay, so went a little bit different than I would have expected, but we'll talk about these in terms of some of, because a lot of these are the prospects that we expect that'll be around the area. So obviously in this one, Minnesota don't move up, so we can talk about that a little bit, that I still expect those top four to probably be quarterbacks, and maybe it pushes Marvin Harrison to the Chargers, Joe Alt down to the Titans. Then I think you have I still think that Atlanta might go pass rusher. So you might have one of Nabers or Adunes at this point in time. But like, let's just say at this point, where if you're looking at receivers, it's Nabers or Adunes. If you get if it's a left tackle, it probably needs to be Joe Alt. I don't know if they're going to go for Fashanu at that point. But then there's also edge rushers, right? Like Dallas Turner, Leitu, Jared Verse. What do you think are kind of the main targets do you think that the Bears have at nine?
I'd probably say pass rusher, wide receiver are the two, and obviously offensive tackle as well, are the three rather that they'll be looking at. What I would say is if the board falls like this, I like Fashanu, but I prefer Alt. and I suppose that'll be, you know, whether or not the Bears have both of those tackles as like blue chip guys or not, I don't know. I'm going to guess that they have Alt a lot higher, and I do as well, personally. So that moves you on a little bit because the tackle's not there. Is the wide receiver there at the moment? Probably not one of the top guys that you're looking at. So the way that it falls just now, I'm looking at pass rush. So you're either pass rush or you're trading back. I like that a lot. I think he's a good prospect. I would also be happy with trading back a few spots and picking up a Jared Verse. Because I don't know if I'd take him at 9, but I would certainly take him in, like, you know, before 20 anyway. And whilst also sort of picking up, you know, a second rounder or maybe third rounder, whatever it is. I like Latu. How do you guys feel about that with the injury situation?
Just before on Latu, I would add one thing to it, Tony. I think they also look at a tree tech. I think there is a potential for Newton to be in a conversation somewhere out of Illinois, purely and simply because all we've heard for 3 years is about Eberflus obsess on the tree tech position. And Newton is a quality player at Illinois. I think he's definitely someone that could be there. I don't know what number he's in on this. Just I wanted to add that in because I think it's not just edge. I think they may look at a tree tech as well. The other thing I would say is on Latu, if there had been something about his injury come up in the medicals, you'd have heard about it. He'd have flown. He would have flown. I think he would have gone way down the list. It's a danger. I know Kieran said it before. It's a danger of taking someone like him because it's such a high pick. It's such a big call. What I will say is I actually have a little bit of reservation about Dallas Turner. My reservation on Dallas Turner is I don't know whether he can play in a 4-3. A lot of stuff that he does isn't with his hand in the dirt. And that's why I prefer Verse or Latu. But as you said, Tony, if it falls like this, Kieran, show up what the trade offers would be and see what offers are there.
Before I do that, obviously our good friend Tanner likes the even numbers. He likes the 10. So he gave us another $5. So he said Williams at 1, McCarthy at 9. Heisman winner and a college quarterback champion on our roster. Legendary.
Great point. Honest, and another 1,000 bucks, Tanner. Thank you. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. We're catching you, Courtney.
I think if by some remarkable reason this happened, I think they would be looking to trade because one of those quarterbacks didn't go, but I do think it would. So you have, it's only one offer here, the Saints, where you get 14 and 45 for 9 and 122. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's.
So you're getting a second round pick, and you're giving away a fourth.
Before we do that, let's have a look at the teams that would happen next. So the expectation would be that JJ McCarthy would go. Well, no, Saints won't take JJ McCarthy. They may in this draft, but let's say they take Dallas Turner. Jets would
Vikings are at 11.
Yeah. So Jets would take Dallas Turner. Saints would take Dallas Turner. Jets would take Fashanu. Vikings would take McCarthy. Denver would take a corner, so Arnold. And then you got Raiders. No idea what they would do.
You never know what they're going to do, man.
They could pick a kicker. Yeah. So let's say Lazarus. So you're taking a risk that you're hoping that Verse is still there.
I think he'd be there at 14.
Yeah, I think either Latu or Verse would be there at 14 and you pick up a second rounder.
I try and sweeten the pot, though. I tried to get maybe another later round. You know, you can always ask. You don't ask, you don't get, you know. Okay, maybe get like another, like a sixth rounder back with that or something like that.
So 190, 175?
Maybe go 175. 175. Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Confirm. Ah, that got accepted. Well done, a little bit extra.
Well done, Tony. Oh, they took Latu.
They actually went Latu. Fuaga, JJ McCarthy, Mims.
What do Raiders do?
Oh, fashion. Well, okay, so, that makes sense.
Okay. So, Versa still there. I wouldn't want to move back.
So I'm just going to reject these ones because I don't think they're going to move back twice in the first round anyway. I think when that happens on mock drafts, I think it's very... So Dallas Turner is still there. And you also have Jared Verse. I think personally, if it was me and this was the situation that happened, I'd be happy going Dallas Turner at 14. I prefer him to Jared Verse personally because Jared Verse in 2022 was very good, but he had a drop off this year. And I think a lot of the tape that people are looking at that they're very happy with was from not this past season, but the season beforehand. And he probably affected himself from not coming out of last year's draft, in my opinion.
Tony, you did the deciding vote because I would go the opposite. I would go Verse because I don't think Dallas Turner fits to what we want to do in a 4-3. And I think Verse does. I think Verse is bigger, more physical. I think he gives us that run defense as well, which Dallas Turner...
That's my thinking, to be honest with you. I don't think Dallas Turner is an expert pass rusher either. I think arguably... Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing is pushing Jared Verse down a little bit, as someone said in the chat, is he's 24 this year.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a Kyle Long scenario, a game where you're taking a slightly older player in the first round. You want to do that. Taking an older player can have its advantages in terms of the mentality and the maturity and all that kind of stuff. I really like Jared Verse, I'll be honest with you. And I think he's probably going to jump up the boards a little bit over the next few weeks. So I would go him, okay. And I think he fits better probably in this situation.
All right, people in the chat as well, because I see some people saying that they like Verse. Lord Crimson asking, is Paris Johnson there? Yeah, I don't think they'll go with this, but I think Paris Johnson would be one if they trade it back into the 20s, personally.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think we'll go with Jared Verse because honestly, I think if they do move back, I don't think Dallas Turner will be there. And I think Jared Verse will be. So even to make it a little bit more realistic, if the Bears do move back in this scenario, let's go with Jared Verse. And the good thing is we don't actually have to wait like a million miles because we do have a pick to get into 45. But it's interesting because I think the only difference there where, let's say Dallas Turner was there, but also one of those wide receivers was there, or your top edge rusher, one of those wide receivers was there. Do you think that the Bears would move down, or do you think that they'd be like, we have to take one of these receivers, they're too good? Because even just listening to the likes of Eberflus and Poles kind of made me think if their top defensive guy is there, or their top edge rusher, or their top receiver, their top tackles there, I don't know if they're going to move back. Did you guys get that kind of hint from the way Eberflus and Poles have been talking the last 48 hours?
Yeah, I'm very confident that Poles would take 4 picks if that's what he had. I really am. I think he's very comfortable in what he's going to give. And I think the board felt weird here, but a few foul neighbors are Denze or Alt, if one of those three were there, I think that's his starter point. And I think he takes one of those three instantly. And then, as you said, worries about 75 when you get to 75. And I think that would be a smart move as well, if that's the case.
I'm trying to think of the players. Like, let's just assume it does go. The top 4 picks are going to be 4 quarterbacks, right? I think it's safe to say that Marvin Harrison Jr. will probably go 5 or 6, right? Yep. You probably will have then Joe Alt go in 7. So then if Dallas Turner does go to the Atlanta Falcons,
you're thinking that really the receiver that the Giants don't go for could be the option for the Bears, whether it's Neighbors or Adunze. Like, the interesting one is everybody had Adunze going up like really, really high, and then suddenly you see Malik Neighbors today running a 4-3, and everyone's like, he's a top 5 pick, blah blah. It's that's where this does get interesting, that if a guy like Neighbors does fall to 9, do the Bears just see it that it's just too hard to pass up? And that's what becomes very interesting.
I think you're in a situation there where you've got folk making decisions who understand quality as opposed to quantity is the most important aspect here. And absolutely everything that they've been saying indicates that if player is there that's in their upper echelon group of players, they will take that person. They're not going to trade back for the sake of getting some extra picks. You know, I don't know what the second round success rate is for picks, but it's probably going to be lower than first rounders, I would imagine. So, you know,
and first round, 50%.
Yeah, you stick in the first 50-50 chance that it goes well for you, and especially if you really like that guy, that puts the odds even further in your favor.
Okay, so, we're at 45 here. So we went edge already. So if you wanted a center, Zach Frazier is there. I know we are fans of him. Some of the receivers that are available, you have Malachi Corley.
Scroll back up a second. Two things on that I noticed. Darius Robinson's a very, very good edge. He really is a very good edge.
Just the other one.
I'm just saying as example, if they're the cases. Scroll down just one more below Isaac. Okay. I tried to pronounce this guy's name, but let's go with Rook, right? Or a Horo, right? Honestly, as a tree tech, this guy is explosive out of Clemson. Keep a look at his tape. The highlights that he's there, he would be someone that I can see Flus having a wet dream about. Like, it's that level. This guy is exactly what he'd look for, because I don't think he's naturally sold on Dexter yet.
I was hoping he was going to come out last year, because he was one of those that it was very late on that he decided to go back to Clemson, and he was one that I was kind of earmarking as a potential second round pick for the Bears last year. So interesting enough that he comes out this year and will probably be a day two pick, second round, third rounder.
We don't have a trade offer right now, do we?
They're all bad. they were 30 picks away. So, or 20 picks away. So obviously Leonard Taylor is an interesting one if you wanted to go three tech as well. But there was a couple of interesting names that were actually further down on here that I like. So, Roman Wilson is one if you wanted to go receiver. Same thing. I think Jalen Polk is going to go a little bit higher than people expect him to. Again, if you wanted to pick up your center, you could do that in Zach Frazier. And then you still have that third round pick to potentially go wide receiver. You've probably filled your four main needs in the draft in terms of quarterback, wide receiver, center, and edge rusher. So, that's a potential. What do you guys think at this point?
I'm not sure that Zach Frazier would come in as your starting center. I don't think he has. And from what I've been reading, he doesn't have great length. And we know that that's something the Bears love, is length. He's kind of below average length kind of guy. So, especially for an offensive lineman, it's always something to consider. I think it would be a bit rich of a pick at this point to take Frazier personally. I think we have greater needs than center. I think I'll be looking at the wide receivers just now. I might even be looking at safeties as well, because fair enough, we've got Bayer there just now, but how long is he going to stick around for, really? Was it a 2-year deal that he signed?
Yeah.
So you're going to be looking for your free safety succession plan there. And if you can take somebody in the second or third rounds and sit behind Bayard for certainly this season, that might be something to consider. So I would be looking along the lines of that. I think you could also look at tackle as well, but I don't know if there's anybody here right at this particular moment that I would be crazy about. in terms of tackles. What is there in terms of like safeties just now?
Kitchens was the one that stood out when I looked at the list there that was up. I think he's Florida. I think Kitchens was there, Kieran. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
Kitchens is the only one I think at this point you would even consider. I don't know if they would want to spend a second round pick on a safety just 2 years removed from picking Jaquan Brisker in the second round, and then obviously paying Byard. I think that they probably, especially when you do only have the 4 or 5 picks, I think that there's probably going to be other positions they're going to target.
I think at this point you're right. I think it's too early for any of those guys.
They've depth as well with what's his name, the guy from Green Bay. They took him in as well, so they do have a little bit of depth in safety. Me personally, if you go back to the offensive side of the football, there's a couple of names that stood out in wide receivers. Leggett just seems like a wide receiver 3. He's very raw, but there's a real talent there. I don't think Corley will be given to the Bears because he seems more like a slot guy, and I've been taught it for a while. I still think they see DJ Moore as that long term, that DJ Moore can slip in towards the slot position. They want a big guy. The other one that stands out, and I think this is actually, I know he's down to 70 there, but he'll be a lot higher in my opinion, is Roman Wilson. Just purely because Wilson is an aggressive, and Michigan didn't throw the ball that much, but he was an aggressive guy. Went up and made catches, had a bit about him, a bit of anger about him. So I like that. You mentioned tackles earlier on. Like Patrick Paul, I think, was still there. Yeah.
He's good. I like him.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, maybe. I'm not going to try and pronounce Keane's name that we're bringing in, but that's another one that the Bears seem to like. They brought him in. They met with him at least twice. It just, for me, it comes down, for me personally, between Leggett or Wilson. I think wide receiver is where you go at this point. Charlie Polk good as well. Leggett or Wilson. After that, then Pearsall.
There's a couple of guys I like. I like Polk, Leggett, Wilson, and then if we go a little bit further down, I like Devontae Walker as well. I think though you're probably looking between these three here in terms of Roman Wilson, Leggett, and Polk, and realistically, when you're picking at 75, all of these are probably going to be gone.
I think Leggett's probably your best option here. If you look at the RAS scores for each of these guys, Leggett's heads and tails above everybody else. And we know, again, that's what Poles likes in these wide receivers. And I think he's one of those guys who, you know, decent, he's 6'1". 220 pounds. It could give us that sort of different type of receiver that we don't currently have. Very explosive. So for me, given what's here at the moment, and if we're going wide receiver, I'd probably go with B. Xavier and pick him.
What I will say as well about Leggett, the fact that he's that raw, having two guys in front of him like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen is absolutely perfect for him. Because then you've got him with Tyler Scott, and then suddenly you've got four different receivers there. But it's also less pressure on him. A second round pick is a second round pick, but it's still less pressure when you have Allen and DJ Moore, who will be target one and target two. And the other thing as well with Waldron, he loves his tight ends. So wide receiver three will be wide receiver three. He won't get as much targets, but he'll be able to learn those things. Because there's the danger that Allen might be only a one year rental, which is fine if that's what happens and people learn from that. But getting Leggett now gives him a year behind Keenan Allen, a year with Caleb Williams, and I think that would be a really good pick in my opinion.
One of the things that I like about this, regardless of the guy that you end up bringing in. Yeah, but what I like is the fact that like you could bring in one of these receivers, and there's, even if it's in the first round, there's not that like incredible pressure on them because there's two guys ahead. And even if it was with that second first round pick, like the pressure is going to be on the number one overall pick rather than you. And that's what makes that really interesting, that a receiver can literally come in here and actually be given time to develop. And like, if it wasn't for, I think, Keenan Allen, I don't think that's the case. I think there's a lot of pressure on whatever rookie comes in to essentially produce straight away. And I think that's, again, it goes to what Ryan Poles has said. He's trying to put players in a position to succeed. And I think that's a really good one. I wouldn't personally do this trade. It's 75-175 for 94 and a 2025 third. So let's reject that one. Okay, so some of the players that are still available, I don't think we're going to look at linebacker. If you still want a center, there's Cedric Van Pran Granger. Again, Devontae Walker, if you wanted to go wide receiver again. Blake Corum at running back, if you want.
Buller's not a bad shoot. McKinley Jackson's not a bad shoot. Defensive tackle. A defensive tackle.
Want to go offensive tackle?
Ooh, he's still there.
Dwayne Carter. I wanted to say one thing about Dwayne Carter, and not so much he has good tape, but I was talking to some of the guys over at the Draft Network that get to interview all these different prospects, and I just asked them to pick one guy that they've spoken to that just is a little bit different in terms of really positive attitude and a guy that fans and teams are going to love purely for who they are as an individual. And the one player that they mentioned was Dwayne Carter. So as a defensive tackle, he's going to be an interesting option. See where he goes.
What names have we got at the top of this list? Sorry, I missed it when you were...
So a lot of them are kind of like edges, corners. So I don't think the top three are going to be in contention. I like Kalen Carson, but I don't think they're going to go corner. If they wanted center, I think Cedric Van Pran probably lost out from not coming out last year because I think he was ranked higher prior to last year's draft than he is in this year's draft. Again, a couple of linebackers. We went wide receiver. I like Marshawn Nealon from as an edge rusher, but we went that way as well. If you, again, there's a couple of running backs here. Your first safety that we were talking about is Javon Buller from Georgia, and that'd be interesting. If you wanted a running back, Blake Corum from Michigan, obviously he's a very good player. As Ant mentioned, McKinley Jackson, if you want to go kind of defensive tackle. And then the reason why I think we mentioned the offensive tackle from Yale is the fact that he's had a top 30 visit with the Bears. And they've met with him on two other separate occasions. So there's definitely a link there to where the Bears definitely have looked at him. I don't know who else. Bucky Irving's an interesting one at running back. I don't know if there's anybody else in this area.
Once you're going down there, you're going way down.
Yeah. So I don't know what you guys are thinking here. Would you be thinking kind of still going on offense, or would you be thinking kind of defensive tackle, safety, or is offensive tackle an option here?
Van Pran is an interesting one because his RAS score is shocking, if memory serves me right. But he is a good option to have, especially when you've got two centers in front of him where he's not expected to start. So again, it goes back to my whole thing with Leggett. It's very much looking into the future, and you're growing your center with your quarterback, and suddenly you've got a bit of stability that could be there. He's not playing anywhere else. He's not guard. He's not that. He is a center, and he's an interesting shout if you wanted to get, if there's upside to him. If we get the player that we thought he was 12 months ago, then we've got a real option to do it. He stood out when you looked at the list before you started looking at the offensive tackles, because that goes back to the whole, do we need an offensive tackle?
Can I be honest? I would, if I was picking between a center or a tackle here, I'd probably go tackle because I don't think there's a lot of depth on the Bears of tackle, really. I don't believe in Larry Borum, and he's kind of your main backup for the two tackles right now, especially if you don't go somewhere early. There's a lot of tackles in this draft class that are very athletic that I think would fit with what the Bears want to do. And I just think the fact that the Bears have basically brought in two players debut at center. I don't know if they're going to go in that direction in this draft. I would think if they were planning on going offensive line at this point, I probably would lean towards offensive tackle.
To be honest, I'm not getting up on a lot of the tackles this late in the draft. I haven't really looked that much into them, so I'm not sure. But I do like the center, if I'm being honest with you. And the Bears have met with him as well. They also sent their ex-pro day too. I think they probably, you know, are interested. So, you know, I think that could be an option. And as you say, you're sort of gambling on the upside there. But you've got the flexibility this year of having a couple of centers in front of them where there's not that pressure of you having to come in and you know, start right away or whatever. You can sort of like, you can mold into the team. So I would probably go with the center option, if I'm being honest, cool, given what's here at the minute. But, you know, I'm willing to be convinced if there's a tackle there, Kieran, that you really like at this point.
Let me just want to double check that there's no one else at tackle there. The main reason I was just mentioning the kid from Yale is just the fact that they've actually brought, he's the one tackle they've brought in so far for a top 30 visit. So they obviously like something about him. I do think he'd probably be, I think it all, yeah, he's really the main one here. I think it probably depends on, yeah, I think you're like, if they think that they need that long-term answer and they don't, and they think the other two guys that they brought in are really only going to be for this year, and you allow, that's, again, it could be a good scenario where if he's brought in with those veterans that are ahead of him, it's not like where you're asking a rookie center to come in and start from week one. You can learn behind them and then maybe come in towards the middle of the season, towards the end, and kind of take over. So it would make sense, I think. I think if you were going kind of either direction, I guess it just depends on how they see how healthy they appear to be, either at center or at tackle. If they really believe in Braxton Jones and they really believe in Darnell Wright as their kind of future at the tackle positions, maybe you don't go tackle at this point, and maybe you do go interior.
I would say so. I mean, I think this point here, you know, we need to set sort of the center long term, because, you know, we've got the tackle that we, you know, certainly on right tackle, we think I've got a guy long term. Left tackle, possibly have a guy long term there. But at center, we don't. We have stop gaps currently. So I would say there's probably more pressing need to take the center, especially in the draft, as opposed to, yeah. I think, I mean, you look at the way that the draft has fallen just now, you probably could still get that tackle that you're talking about, the, what's his, Amagaji, is that his name?
I don't know if he'll fall to, our next pick is 175, so it's 100 picks from now. So I don't think it's going to be that, but like, again, I agree with the logic for it, and for the base of this, maybe we will go in that direction and then see what's there at 175 to round out this draft class.
Yeah.
So let's do that, because
this is an interesting point from Broski as well. Keep in mind that this could be Tevin Jenkins last season, and they could cut Nate Davis after the season. So sliding Braxton Jones to guard could be in play. I think that's a fair point. Maybe not about Tevin Jenkins or Davis, but there is a conversation potentially around looking at Braxton sliding into left guard as well. So I wouldn't necessarily agree with, if the Bears take a tackle early in the draft, that means we need to trade Braxton Jones. I'm not necessarily on that feel at all, but
I think you don't trade good offensive linemen, even average offensive linemen, to be honest. You need to keep, even if you, like, let's say Joe Alt fell to 9 and you pick him, you're still keeping Braxton Jones.
Especially
like,
if he's on,
also, you don't see this sliding them inside thing. This nonsense as well. They're two different positions. They require different things. And for me, Braxton Jones is a tackle. He's not a guard. He's a tackle. So if you took a tackle that's better than him, then Braxton Jones as your swing tackle. And all of a sudden, you're in a situation whereby if one of the guys goes down, you feel really confident because you've got a really good backup coming in, as opposed to just sticking him in anywhere else is for the sake of it. So I don't agree with that at all.
Cool.
It's good. Look, we'll kind of talk about some of those because the
Devontae Walker waited. They got Devontae Walker at 92, right? The Bucks and this, right? The funny thing is that had Walker not done the combine, he'd have been in the second round because his combine drills were quite poor. And it's mad how stuff like that for certain skill positions are impacting people's sights. And I have no problem if Devontae Walker came to the Bears, there's a player there. There really is.
It's an interesting conversation though, Ant, because you think of that and you go, well, you know, you've seen the tape, which is the most important thing. The underwear Olympics aren't so much important. You've seen the tape, you see, because you know the 40 times the 40 time, but no one actually does the 40 time on the field.
Correct.
So should teams be put off by that, you know, so much? If the tape's that good, you know, then surely you should stick with your original thought, you know.
And I think what you're saying there is we don't know what they see in the tape. Maybe they've seen that in the tape as well. But I agree with you. I don't think the as you say, the underwear Olympics mean that much to me. I'm not too bothered. Pro days also as well, by the way. I'm not massively like gone because most of it's scripted. But what's interesting for me is on players like Devontae Walker, where is it the quarterback that's made them look good, or is it them that's made the quarterback look good? Joe, is it Daniels that was throwing? Not, it was Drake May throwing him. So if it was May, is he good because May's putting the ball perfectly? And then you're asking the same question around Brendan Rice at USC. You're probably asking the same question then around Neighbors and Daniels in LSU. It's a really interesting one that comes with, and it's why a lot of teams sometimes try and get the quarterback and the wide receiver from the same team together in year one. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears did have a scenario later in the rounds they went after a Taj Washington or Brendan Rice for that reason as well. I think there's chemistry between a wide receiver and a quarterback can usually elevate into both sides of the ball.
Is there a player that, whether it's a second round player, third round player, that you think is going to go a lot higher than, let's say, currently slated in most of these kind of mock drafts that we end up seeing?
I think you're going to see a lot of wide receivers go in the first round. I really do, a lot. Like your man Ladd McConkey, you know, just purely because of his name. But Ladd McConkey is one example where I've seen people say about him going the second round. I think he goes a lot higher than people think. I think Ron Wilson goes a lot higher than people think. I think he's going to be high in the second round. I just do. And I think on the flip side then, somebody has to fall. And I think you'll see cornerbacks potentially falling. I think you'll see teams that wanting quarterbacks will be later in the first round will get one that people thought might go in the top 15. For that reason, because teams are going to want that. No one take T.O. T.O.'s still there. God, there's no chance.
I think my view on the wide receiver, and I think you're right in terms of I do think there'll be a good amount of them that get picked in round one. But I think after round one, there's going to be that kind of lull period because teams know then from round two, maybe to round five, that a lot of those guys, there's not going to be a massive difference between them. So I could easily see, let's say the Bears did move back a little bit, right? And they ended up getting a second round pick, or maybe they waited till 75. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys were thinking, he's a second round pick, ends up falling to 75. We see it every single year where guys fall down. Wasn't it in one year, was it DK Metcalf nearly fell down to, when he fell down to Seattle, he was like picked like way later than the expectation was. Like there's many times that when a certain position group is viewed very favorably, players tend to fall down a little bit because teams end up going for a different position of need that because they're like, oh, we can get a receiver in round four that can have just the same impact as if we draft one in round two. And that's where if the Bears do stick with 9 and then they stick at 75, they could end up getting a starting tackle or starting receiver edge rusher at 9. And suddenly you could be at 75 and a guy you would have targeted in round 2 is actually still there. And that's where if you do that and you get 3 kind of productive players in your first 3 picks, you're laughing. Because teams, even with if you have 10 picks, if you come out with 3 starters from 10 picks, you're doing well as a GM. Because like that's what you're looking for. Once you hit past day 2, you're kind of hoping for guys that can just be productive for you. And that's where I think it does get very, very interesting with the Bears. And that's why I kind of think at 9, I don't think they're going to move down. Unless they get a really good offer and like a quarterback falls or a tackle falls to where teams really want them. I don't know if they're going to move back. And I think he's, like we said earlier, is probably right for the Bears. This is one I wanted to bring up to you, Ant, because you were a big fan of Joel that Hugh just puts in the chat. He wants alt 2, but it's a luxury pick, defensive end or wide receiver. How do you respond?
Joel is potentially the left tackle that we would be dreaming of. Joel very much could be that player. I think we need to make sure that our offensive line is there to protect our quarterback for the next 5 years. And then having it bookended in Darnell Wright on one side, having Joe Alt on the other side, that for me is more important than getting a wide receiver. If Joe Alt is there, or Roman Dunze is there, or Joe Alt is there, and Neighbors is there, Joe Alt is my pick, because we have to get our offensive line right. We have to make sure that we're very comfortable in what our quarterback is seeing. And I get people saying, oh, but it's year one. Joe Alt would have to get having a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle. Well, that's where the Braxton Jones conversation comes in then, because then you're having a situation where you may have Joe Alt and Braxton Jones fighting it out for a week one start. Or wouldn't that be brilliant to have that conversation around a real competition left tackle? Because at the moment, it's given. Just a quick one. If this is where we're at 175, I guarantee you Shane Waldron jumps up and down and wants Bell. Literally jumps up and down and screams for Bell, like has a full conniption fit, because Bell is the ultimate tight end 3 for where Shane Waldron plays, because he doesn't block. He isn't a blocker. He is 100% a catcher of the football, and he finds himself all over the field. Wide receiver, slot receiver, he's everywhere, right? And he wouldn't be someone you bring in to block anyone off the side, off the edge, but he will be a weapon everywhere. And if that's where we are, oh, Muhammad Kamara. I love Muhammad Kamara. He's like, he won't be picked by the Bears. He's too small. Pot kettle, I know myself. He's too small, but he is electric, man. He's electric. So yeah, Mo Kamara's one there. Love him. But Bell will be Waldron will be screaming for him. T.O. Johnson. Panthers took him at 141. But and then Stover went. Taj Washington went at 160. Yeah, that would be
a couple of interesting ones around this time. There's even
Joe Milton to the Vikings is an interesting one, because Joe Milton is one of those ones that wouldn't surprise you if actually ended up being decent, because he just fires the ball 400 miles an hour. But yeah, well, if we're going best player available, we're going to take him out.
One guy here that I think is going to go a bit higher than 175 is Christian Boyd, the defensive tackle for Northern Iowa. He seems to be having 30 visits with 15 teams. So there's obviously a lot of interest in him. So if you want to go D-tackle, that would be a good one. If you want to go guard, Javion Cohen, he's an interesting one. I believe he transferred from Alabama to Miami. So he's an interesting one. But yeah, I kind of agree. If they wanted to go tight end, you could do that. If you wanted to still go defense in terms of defensive tackle, Boyd is there. Josh Proctor from Ohio State, kind of your specialist safety type guy. If you wanted to
this was one that I know a couple of guys were mentioning in the chat that there's another center that was there. But yeah, look, I think you're probably going either tight end, maybe a guard here as well. The Darius Henderson's an interesting one from Michigan. But yeah, I would probably go either tight end or Christian Boyd would be one. If you're going to get a defensive tackle at this point, I think that would be a pretty slam dunk pick at this point where he could probably produce.
I agree, Broski Bear. I definitely think Theo Johnson's a sleeper tight end three. I think you've got obviously Bowers, you've got Sinnott, who will probably be the second tight end that'll be taken off. And then for me, it's Stover and Theo Johnson, but both of them were gone. So at this stage, you're looking at Bell. And the reason I'm saying is I really think that tight end, we will use a lot of tight end sets. We'll use a lot of those people there. Theo Johnson, I think, not just because I love the name Theo, obviously for my son, but the idea around Theo Johnson is he is a proper blocker as well. Great catcher, big guy. I just like him. Bell is an interesting pick though as well. It'd be good crack to watch Bell run around.
Tony, what say you?
You're on mute, my good man.
I just thought I wasn't talking.
All right, sorry. I've been fucking chatting away for ages. yeah, no, listen, see when it gets to this point in the draft, sixth round, man, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, though, the way I look at it, I get the point about tight end, but really you're bringing a guy in to be your sort of third tight end. Really, I mean, is it worth it? I don't know. Like, I think you're looking at kind of long-term succession plans or quality depth along your offensive or defensive line. I think that's the way you have to go at this point. So I would be more inclined to take an interior offensive lineman or an interior defensive lineman, at this point, if there's someone there that sort of has not only the length, the athleticism, but also the potential upside as well. We're still looking for our three technique, so is there a guy there at the moment who you'd want to take? I don't know if I'd go out of my way to take a nose tackle at this point. I think we're okay there. I don't think it's a position that you're necessarily wanting to be looking at this moment in time. So, you know, I would probably try and look to solidify my depth on the lines at this point.
Yeah, if that's the case, I would definitely go Christian Boyd at this one. I think he's probably going to go maybe a round earlier than five. So if he fell to this point, I think it would be a pretty good option for the Bears. And again, it means that may the best man win when it comes to kind of your three tech or your interior defensive tackles. And I think that's where it really makes sense. I like Cohen and I like Henderson, but I think I like Boyd a little bit more than those guys.
Who's really, you've got Javon Dexter, obviously, who's likely going to be in that sort of position. Who else? Yeah, well, Zach Pickens hasn't really done it for me, to be honest with you. And I don't think he's that type of player either. So the question you have to ask is who would be challenging for that three tech position? And at the moment, not many options there. So at least you have to bring in quality competition. And as you say, see who the best man is.
And then that's why for me, I think, and I meant it when I said it, that at nine, I think three tech is on the board. For the exact reason you just said, that I don't know whether they actually believe, and maybe not knowing, maybe it's a trade when they go trade back to 13, 14, 15. Aye. But it's on the board in the same way that the edge is on the board for the reason you've just explained, that we may not like DeMarcus Walker and may not think he's the answer to everything, but he is a experienced edge who's been there and done. There is still a chance of a couple of other experienced guys out there. But if there's no one outside of, like, we will be starting with Andrew Billings and Jervon Dexter right now with Zach Pickett's coming off the bench right now if we played a game before the draft. And I think
you're right, man. I think you're right. I think you're right to an extent. I think if you're sticking at nine, or even around about that area, I think you're more likely to take a pass rusher, to be honest with you, because of the quality of player there versus the quality of defensive tackle at that point. But absolutely, you're spot on. Like, if you're trading back, you can pick up a defensive tackle in the second, third round that you could bring in, who could be that potential future three tech if Javon Dexter doesn't work out. I think that Dexter is going to work out very well. I've been a huge fan of him through the whole draft process last year, and he was overlooked by too many people back then. But he, I genuinely think will be all right there. But I still think that everybody should have competition regardless. If you don't have competition, it has an impact on the way that you train. So he has to have that competition in there. So yeah, I would take a defensive tackle, but I wouldn't do it in nine or round about that.
Yeah, I don't think that there's gonna be, like, I like Newton from Illinois. I think he's probably gonna go somewhere between like 15 and maybe 18 or 19. So like, if you get put back into that area, then maybe it's a possibility. But I agree. I think you're probably gonna go either one of those top receivers, or you're going to go edge rusher. If you end up sticking at nine, or obviously if Joe Alt falls, I still just think that seems like a foregone conclusion that he's going to the Tennessee Titans. And
I think the Chargers,
pretty much it.
Chargers might take him as well. You listen to Harbaugh talk about, like, with like absolute joy, how important he sees his offensive line and getting that done first.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the one that might stand out the most to me, that it would be an interesting move if that was done, because if he takes that,
what would the Titans do then?
They'd go Fashanu.
Jesus, that would be a good scenario for the Bears, though. That is pushing players down to them.
Well, then you definitely have, like, you then have definitely have Neighbors or Adunze, one of the two, if not both, at nine.
Can I put in a little theory then? Let's say that does happen. Let's say first four picks are quarterbacks. Number five is Joe Alt, and the Giants are sitting there at six. Would you try and trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I'd know that one of then Neighbors or Adenze is coming to me at nine. And while I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is great, we don't have a lot of capital to spend. And do I want to have? Yeah, look, Marvin Harrison Jr. would be amazing with him and Caleb Williams. But then you've nothing else, and you've given up, I'd say, a good bit to get up there to get it.
But considering you're only moving up three spots, it could end up just being where you might trade up one of those second round picks next year.
Yeah.
Think about it. Last year, the Eagles moved up one spot and they gave up a fourth.
Well, if you're moving one spot, is different, you know. But if you're moving up a few, then you're having to give up a lot more. And I genuinely don't think that there's a need to do it. I genuinely would be happy, given the fact the way the wide receiver room is looking just now. I would be happy with either of those three guys coming into the team. And I don't think we need to move up for anybody. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I think the top four picks are going to be quarterbacks, because Minnesota are going to come up. The fifth pick's either going to be Alt or Marvin Harrison. You know, so either way, you look at those top five and you get out of the way, you're going to have a good player at the end of it. You're going to have one of the blue chip guys. Yeah, like this is really so many options there. Alt's not going to fall to nine, and Marvin Harris is not going to fall to nine. But you'll definitely get one of the other two wide receivers. You know, if you like Fashanu, then he's going to be there. You'll get a pass rusher option there. You're going to have options. You're going to have, we're just deciding whether or not that these guys are in that top blue box for the Bears or whatever the fuck color it is. that's going to be the thing. But I'm really excited about that. And honestly, man, I hope there's more weird shit like that happens. Like, I hope some idiot comes up and takes Penix at five or something.
Denver, the Broncos. The Broncos will come up. Raiders are up for a mad, something mad to do. Like,
all right. Do you know what would be interesting? What could work out well for the Bears is that scenario that we just painted. That if Joe Alt goes at five, and then if Fashanu goes to the Tennessee Titans, because then teams behind the Bears start getting a little bit wary about the tackles because they know the Jets are probably going to take one. So maybe that is a scenario where you might actually be able to move back a few spots. Because when people say, oh, Bears should move back from 9, I keep going it back and saying it's not that easy in round 1. Because round 1, a team really needs to want a prospect. It's easier later on in the draft because you're not giving up that much capital to move up and try and get a guy. But in round 1, you got to be in the perfect spot to be able to do it. So just to recap what we did in ours here before...
Just before you do that, well, the only thing I'll say to that is if, and this goes back to what we said at the very start, if one of Neighbours or Odunze is at 9, I don't give a ratsies what somebody offers me. I'm taking one of those two at 9. And then, I really don't care. They're my players. That's the ones I want. I mean, there's no ambiguity. There's no what ifs. There's no, basically, that's your decision. That's our call. And then it's about your decision as a GM and a scouting team, which one you picked. And then that's the only call on you then. So let's use the example we've just given. And it's Odunze and Neighbours, and we pick Neighbours, right? And it ends up being Odunze was the right call. Well, that's on you and as an evaluator. That's on you and a scouting team making that decision. Same goes for Brock Bowers or whoever that decision is. But I'd prefer to have that on my GM than my GM going, ooh, I'll go back to 13. And, unfortunately, the guys I wanted are now gone. So I'm now going to pick... not one of my blue chip guys, but I've got a second round that I can do something else. But I think that needs, we as Bears fans, we won't get a chance, or hopefully we won't get a chance at 2 picks in the top 10 ever again. Well, not ever, but in a long time.
Ever again. We don't
want to
be there, man.
We 100% agree with you. Who do we get? As before, I ruined Kieran's picks.
So we got obviously Caleb Williams at 1. What? We moved back and picked Jared Verse. We then went for Xavier Leggett at number 45, went for center in Cedric Van Pran, and then finished it off with Christian Boyd. Again, it's the way this board fell. It's a little bit different because obviously the Vikings didn't move up, and we know in real life they are going to move up. So that's where it kind of changes a bit, but I agree with you just to round out this conversation.
Look, Broski, have us fired.
Broski, you said your number one quarterback was Penix, so like that's all I'm gonna say. But like at the end of the day, it's all love. But I think if Neighbours is there, it has to be a foregone conclusion, because imagine after round 1, you're talking about an offense that has Caleb Williams, then you have DeAndre Swift as your running back, and you still have Khalil Herbert and Roshan. You're then talking about wide receivers and DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Malik Neighbours, and then tight end and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Like, there is options galore for a Bears quarterback that we've just never seen before. And that could make this really exciting after... Like, honestly, if the Bears came away with Caleb Williams and then, let's say, Alter Neighbours or Odunze, I don't give a shit what happens for the rest of the draft. Don't care. Yeah. Like, realistically, do not give a crap.
That's sort of been where I've been at, man, because I'm just like, I get our top 2 10 picks, and then I've not even really concentrated on anything else that's going on later on past, like, the third round. Do you know what I mean? Like, so... it is weird this year because usually, like, I'm used to doing like relatively deep dive in each of the positions and, you know, right back. But this year, I'm just like fucking Caleb Williams and then whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll figure it out as we go along. It's a weird year, man.
On that, I do hope we don't go beyond 150. Genuinely, like, I know Kieran said earlier on about job that he'd try and get more picks. I don't think he will. I think he'll,
I don't the want farthest him to.
He'll. No, I think the furthest you go.
Let us finish our stream early.
It's 130, 135. And I just don't think there's the quality of players later on. And he said that. And I think where I do think there might be something, I do think he'll try and get into the second round
by using some capital from next year, like the Panthers second round, or something like that. Also, got to remember is the likelihood is that we might get whatever they're those picks that we shouldn't get next year with the likes of Ian Cunningham, hopefully getting a GM spot, some other little bits and pieces that we get. I think someone said to me, I think I read somewhere that if Keelan Allen is only 1 year, we get a fourth back or something. I can't remember, but like there's all those little picks that therefore you can give up a second and a third next year with the hope that you'll get some of those compensatory picks. Thank you. So I think there could be a move towards there, get something in the second round. That would be quite nice.
And this is definitely true for this year, and it's just because the last 2 years have had a very deep draft class where there's a lot of underclassmen that came out the last 2 years. This year that didn't happen. So you are going to see teams try and move up in this draft, or when it gets to like round five, move back to get more picks next year rather than this year. And I think that's just the case. I know people are going to say, oh, it's deep at this position and all on this position. But honestly, I think once you get past kind of round four, round five this year, it's more of a shot in the dark than before. Like there's going to be guys that are going to get picked in like the sixth round this year that if it was last year are UDFAs. And that's where it gets interesting. And that's why I'm like, honestly, with the Bears picking, even the fact that you're picking two top 10 picks, like just stick at both of those spots, pick the best player that's there. And if you need to wheel and deal in the middle of kind of day two and the start of day three, fine, do that. Don't really care. They're kind of more shots in the dark. I want to just see those two top 10 picks be guys that basically you want to do exactly what the Texans did last year, where they're talking about their two top 10 picks last year were two of their best players last year. That's what you want to see from this. If you pick Neighbors, that you have that he's at, look, we said it earlier, if you get one of these wide receivers at nine, it's a weird situation for them that there's actually not going to be all that massive pressure of being the ninth overall pick because you've Keenan Allen and DJ Moore beside you. If you have an offensive tackle, I know everybody would be pushing if it was Joel to start straight away. But let's say it did take him a bit of time to learn the playbook or learn how to do it. It's not like you absolutely need to be amazing from week one because there is somebody that can play there. It's the same for edge rusher. You're not, all the pressure isn't going to be on you because they're all going to be focused on Montez Sweat. So like no matter where they go at nine, I don't think there's going to be as much pressure on whoever comes in at that position because really the Bears have a fairly rounded team this year.
One thing I will say though is just on that point about, you know, someone else said in the chat, you know, the Texans traded up having two first round picks last year, the Bears are going to do it this year. We have to get out of this mindset of trying to replicate what other teams have done. You know, it was Philadelphia before, and it was Kansas City after that, and it was like, and I get it is a copycat league, but you know, we've got to follow our own sort of path and make the right decisions for us. And you know, just because someone else has done it before and it worked out doesn't mean you say that it's going to work out this time. So you just stick with the game plan, man, and don't alter. And I hope that Ryan Poles has got a wee yellow bit of paper inside his right trouser pocket that says whatever fucking name on it, no matter what. And he sticks to his game plan and goes that way rather than following the trend. But that's just me.
Who's the best long snapper in the draft?
Get some of the Irish kickers are
in the draft.
Some Irish kickers are decent enough. No, I agree with you, Tony. I agree with you completely, Tony, on that. I think I hope he does have his top three, four names. And then I hope he already has almost trades in his brain as where he wants to go to and what that then results in. And I think that's what's going to be really interesting over the next couple of weeks in Chicago, in Harris Hall, is to see what that looks like. Because we've said it as well before, what we think is going to happen and what actually ends up happening. Was it last year there was an edge rusher from Army that was being put as the second round pick?
It was UDFA.
And it was like everyone was saying he's a second round pick, la 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 la, and he just wasn't in anybody's brain. So
I think a lot
of people are heavily influenced by these mock draft machines, though.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
They're looking at it and going, 100%. Well, that must be fucking right. Never mind these people are actually spending days and days watching people play football. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, PFL or PFF, sorry, they said this is the way it's meant to be. Well, so
considering like all these, like the main analysts and stuff say they had a good first round if they got like 11 or 12 picks right out of 30, out of 32. Exactly. So like, yeah,
it's difficult, man.
That's like at the end of the day, it's gonna be fun. I think the fact that we have two top 10 picks and it's in a draft that in that top 10, it's gonna be very good. The fact that there's gonna be four quarterbacks taken before the Bears pick at 9 as well, as it's just going to push more talent down the board. And I think that's really interesting. And it'd be interesting maybe later on in the draft if they have like late picks or even some of those UDFAs with the new kind of kickoff rule. Maybe they look at a guy that is just a pure kick returner as well, because they're obviously the league's trying to get that play back into the sport. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But look, we have an exciting show next week for you guys. And we can't wait to kind of get that up and running and announce a few little things that are going to be going on with the show. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of guests coming up over the next couple of weeks up until the draft, and we will have a live stream for at least day one and day two. We'll see what happens for day three and what Ryan Poles decides to do. Hopefully, Ryan, you don't make us go on a day three stream for
we
one
can't
pick.
Sit there for like, 6 hours, man.
I can't. I actually can't. I physically won't be able to do it. There's only so much of me watching Dallas pick some random dude that I can put up
sure.
with.
Sure. I'll just be playing this for like 6 hours.
Who the fuck is that guy? Exactly. But yeah, it'll be fun, anyway. And then there'll be lads going mad about it. But look, that's what the draft is about. That's what this show was built on, by the way. This show originated mm-hmm. around the draft and originated in year one around live 7 hours of the draft. And it's up there with my favorite time of the year when it's just crazy. I don't get chaos. Any sleep. I don't get any sleep. I get up the next morning with a kid waking me up. And it's great crack. It is literally great crack.
I love it.
So well, hopefully now the Bears will entertain us even more. That's what you want.
Several more children arrived on the scene since the last draft.
100%. 100%.
Luckily for one and day two, they're asleep.
We're all going to be just sitting here. Look at that.
Look at that. What do you think of him? I don't think that would go. I'll leave my son last 4 seconds watching it.
Tony was there with three Ted of Williams jerseys for his three children.
By the way, when I put that in the chat the other week, I haven't actually ordered it. Only
you
because
have.
I don't know.
You just don't know his number. You don't know his number. That's the
That's
only
the
reason why you haven't done
That's
it.
The
it's fair number play. One. Anyway.
I actually think it will be, but go on. There's no way Keenan Allen is not wearing 13. Keenan Allen will be wearing 13 for the Bears next year.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us today. It was a good bit of fun. Like previous years, we've done a bunch of different mock drafts and stuff, but honestly this year with the Bears being at 1-9, especially with one, I don't think there was a big need. I think it was good to wait it out a little bit until kind of closer to like once like free agency and all was over. And look, we'll get people on the show over the next couple of weeks that might have opinions on what the Bears should do at 9. Is it worthwhile moving back? And some different opinions on the show as well for you guys to look out for. So until then, all we can say is bear down.
Bear down.